Good morning, Hope Astoria. I'm so glad that we're able to worship Jesus from the comfort of our homes. I want to welcome family and friends that are joining us for the first time. We're so glad that you're tuning in as we dive into scripture and seek to grow in our love and affection for Jesus. We're continuing our sermon series titled Strong Tower, where we've been looking at the names of God, these distinct moments in scripture where God would reveal himself in very specific ways. And he would reveal himself by the telling of a name. And those names that he would describe himself through would reveal his character, the essence of who he is. And if you haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and listen in on the previous sermons, because some of our leaders have preached in this series and it's been a beautiful, encouraging time in God's word for us as a church. Today's sermon actually was not in the original plan, to be fully honest, but over the last several weeks, this text and the name of God we're going to unpack this morning has really been healing for me, and it's been stirring, and I've been just drawn powerfully, and as I've been reflecting and meditating on it, I realize a sermon series on the names of God that doesn't touch this name would be kind of crazy. Because actually, it's the most profound name of God that we could imagine. We're going to go to scripture this morning, this text, one verse this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking, and it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Would you join me in prayer as we talk this morning about the name of God as Father? Lord, would you speak to us? Would you be with us? Would you open our hearts that we would hear your voice? And would you clear up any misconception we have of you? And would you help us to see you as you truly are? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember years ago attending a wedding where the groom was well-loved and highly regarded by everyone that I know. I've never met anyone that thought ill of this man, a good man. But as much as we held him in high regard, that day at his wedding, we all came into a fuller knowledge of who he truly is by his sister's telling of their relationship. She got up to give a speech, and there was not a dry eye in the room as she described her brother in the most tender and beautiful ways. She began to share how when she was younger, they lost their dad. And so her brother became her father figure, in essence, and he stepped up to the plate and did an incredible job. He was there for her at critical moments of her developmental years. She knew she could trust him with the secrets of her heart, that he wouldn't judge, that he would always be there, that he would do anything for her. And why I begin there is because in many ways, we all have a knowledge of God, and hopefully it's a good knowledge. We hopefully you and I are all walking in a sense that a concept of God in our souls that says God is good, that he's kind, that he's powerful. And furthermore, hopefully these concepts of God that we carry are derived from scripture. Because if you want to know who God is, he has chosen to reveal himself through scripture. That is where we find the glimpses of his character and him at work. And so it's important to derive our concept from God, not from our experiences, not from the way other people describe him, but actually go to the source, go to himself as he reveals himself through his word. And when we travel the pages of scripture, we find at various moments, as we've seen in this series, God reveals himself in very distinct ways. We see in scripture at times we see God as creator. At other times we see him as a judge, as a lawgiver, as one who establishes right from wrong, as a redeemer, as a warrior. But at this moment, Jesus is revealing God as Father. And I would argue that this is the most profound revelation in all of scripture. And actually, what we see in the life of Jesus as he came to this world, God in the flesh, God incarnate, that through his life, the visible actions of Jesus, we get to see with our own eyes what God looks like. The invisible God, we get to see how he actually is and the way he loved the marginalized and the broken, and how everyone was welcome at his table, how no one felt judged or ostracized in Jesus's presence, how they wanted Jesus around. Notice that in scripture, there masses of people would flock to him to hear his word. This is God, someone who pursues the broken and who the broken pursue him. And what's fascinating and powerful about that is that what we're seeing through the life of Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So any questions you have about what's God like? How does he behave? How does he act? How does he think? When you go to the Gospels, you see that on display through the life of Jesus. But what's amazing is that as you're seeing Jesus teach and raise the dead and do miracles and preach and love the least, the last, the lost, he's describing God as Father. One of the greatest revelations of Jesus to the world is that God is Father, that's his nature, that's who he is, that is who he is in his core essence. And why that's important is because how you see God determines how you relate to him. And if Jesus is revealing God as Father, he's setting the stage for our relationship with him to describe it as a relationship between a father and a child. It's this parental child relationship that frames our understanding of how we relate to God and how God relates to us. Now, I realize that when you hear the name Father, and when you think of God as Father, that can stir up both incredible memories as well as some pain and possibly even trauma. I know many people in our church and people I've met over the years that have had incredible fathers. That when they think about their father, a smile just instinctively comes on their face, and they have fond memories. And so when you think of God as Father, that's actually a good thing for you. But I would say, as good as that is, it's actually incomplete. And I'll explain that in a moment. But for some folks, when you think of God as Father, I didn't have a father. And some of us have had fathers that our relationship with them have not been great. And so when you hear Jesus reveal God as Father and instruct us to call him Father, pain stirs for you, trauma even. And wherever you find yourself, here's the good news. If you had a good father, and when you think of God as Father, it's actually a pleasant thing. Why I said that's good but incomplete is because as good as your earthly father was, he pales in comparison to God the Father. You're reducing God. You're lessening his glory and who he is if your standard of God as Father is your earthly father, however good he is. But if you have a troubling image of God as Father because of your father relationship, the good news is that Jesus has come to restore our vision of God as Father, to heal, and to help us to see God as he truly is. But what's powerful about what Jesus is teaching us in this text, which is known as the Lord's Prayer, as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, is that it actually calls us to rethink discipleship. You see, the word disciple is to be a student, to be an avid learner of a master teacher. There was an expression in ancient times among the Hebrew people that if you were studying under a rabbi, that you were to follow them so closely. And the expression was, may the dust from my rabbi's feet fall upon me. It's this image of walking so closely behind your teacher that you can see how they interact, how they think, so that you could incorporate their life into yours. You and I are called to be disciples of Jesus, to be his students, to follow the master. But I think often when we think of ourselves as disciples, We can think solely as we relate to God as students or as obedient soldiers. We're just following orders. But if God is Father, then being a disciple is actually something so much more powerful. Because to be a disciple means that you and I, in essence, are like children who are learning to trust their Father and to receive the unconditional love of our Father. If God is Father and you and I are His children, to be His disciple means that you and I have to learn what it means to be in this relationship with God, our Father, and we relate to Him as His children. So I want to ask you, how do you relate to God? Do you relate to Him as a child? Do you relate to Him as a child who finds himself in the embrace of their loving, protective, fierce, kind Father who embraces them, who pursues them? Or do you see God as a dictator, as an authoritarian figure, as someone who doesn't pursue you, someone who would judge you, someone who would push you away? This can be a struggle. I know it's been a struggle for me, and perhaps it's a struggle for you to see God as Father, even though this is a clear revelation that Jesus invites us into. He reveals God as Father, but yet we can struggle to see God as Father for all sorts of reasons. And why, what I find fascinating is that even though Jesus overwhelmingly refers to God as Father in the scriptures, in the gospels, there's one moment that he actually doesn't call God Father. He actually just refers to him as God. And the moment I'm referring to is when he was hanging on the cross. On the cross, we read that while in his final moments, he cries out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, at the moment of his greatest pain and betrayal, where he felt estranged from his Father, where he felt abandoned and rejected, at that moment, he called out to God, not as Father, but he called out to God as God. Why I find that fascinating is because it's often in the agony of life, in the painful moments of life, where we can struggle most to actually see God as a loving, kind Father. It's when we're under stress, when we've been rejected, when people have forsaken us, when we go through the most difficult seasons of life, where our vision of God can be obscured, where perhaps during those moments, you struggle to see God as kind, as loving, as tender, and you see Him as distant, you see Him as far, or even as judging. But yet, His essence, His character is to see Him as Father. I want to say that when we declare that God is our Father, when we refer to Him as Jesus instructs us to refer to Him in prayer, in our relationship with Him, I believe it's an act of faith when we do that. Where you may not always feel that to be true, but when you refer to God as Father, as Jesus instructs us to refer to Him, it's an act of faith where we're declaring that the nature of God is greater than our circumstances. It's a powerful thing to remind ourselves and in the face of pain and rejection and confusion to say, I know who God is. He's my Father. And He's not just any kind of Father. He's Dad. He's Abba, He is tender, He is inviting, He pursues me. He's not a God that rejects me, that's exacting, that's constantly pointing out my deficiencies. See, when you relate to God as Father, when you crawl into His lap, the thoughts in His mind are not what you got wrong or where you still need to grow in. I know I struggled with that for many years where I would fundamentally think that when God saw me, the first thought in His mind was to correct me, was to tell me what I needed to grow in and do better. Can anyone relate? Perhaps you have similar struggles, or maybe you have a different struggle where you think that God sees you in kind of a negative way. Can I tell you that when God sees you, when He embraces you, He embraces you as father, as dad. And he's not there to judge you, to point out your flaws, to tell you what you have to do in order to become lovable. He's there to embrace you as you are, so that in the powerful presence of his love, you and I can be changed and transformed. Prayer, when we refer to God in prayer as Father, it's a healing experience. Every time I call out to God as Father, and I want to encourage you, every time you refer to God as Father, would you open up your heart and receive healing? When you call God as Father, receive the healing that comes from the realization that if he's my father, then that means he's adopted me into his family, that he's never going to leave me, that he's there at my darkest moments, that he's not a judging, exacting father, that he's a healing, encouraging, supportive father. When we call out to God as Father, it heals us and liberates us each time we do so. But Jesus not only teaches us in this moment to call God as Father and reveals his nature by telling us that God is Father, but he also says that we should say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's an interesting kind of juxtaposition that Jesus presents to us, because it's almost like two extremes. On the one hand, he's saying, when you call God, when you refer to him, when you see him as Father, as Dad, as Abba. But then he also says, recognize that he's holy. Hallowed be your name. And that kind of creates a powerful tension, in that Jesus is explaining to us that God is both accessible, loving, inviting, but he's also holy and higher than us and completely other. I think that's something to wrestle with, because in my experience, most people either relate to God on one of those extremes and they don't integrate well the combination of them both. What I mean by that is, some folks totally get the idea that God is loving and gracious and responsive to them in that manner. And so some folks don't struggle with the idea that God loves them, because they just say, he's my father, he loves me. And if you're like that, if you sin, you mess up, you don't beat yourself up. You run to God, your father, because you just know he loves you. And that's a good thing. But where it can become somewhat negative, if it isn't coupled with the fact that he's not only father, but he's holy, is that we can become too comfortable in the love of God. In that if we don't recognize that not only are we fully welcomed in his presence, but that we are welcomed in the presence of a holy father, a father who has no sin, who abhors injustice and unrighteousness. If you want to know how much God hates sin in the world, stare at the cross. Look at what he was willing to have done to his son in order to heal and redeem us from the hideousness of sin. God hates sin. As we confront yet another instance in our world this past week, with our brother Jacob being shot in the back 7 times. I realize that can be a charged story, and this is a sermon and it's not a conversation. I wish I could have a conversation with you, because regardless of how you feel about the issue, if we're not on the same page, that is, I think it's a moment where we have to recognize that there is something fundamentally off and wrong in the way that African Americans are experiencing, African American men in particular, experience law enforcement. It's not in my sermons, but I can't shake not mentioning this at this time, because it's a horrific thing that we're wrestling with. And my heart goes out to every African American in our church and anyone who would be watching this, as you're reminded yet again that this country has been built on on the backs of African American slaves and the mistreatment since then for hundreds of years, the injustice that continues on this day. You know, as a father to young boys, I don't have to fear that my sons in particular, if they have an interaction with the police in the future, that they may not come home. Yet every African American man that I know has grown up and they've received the talk of how to survive an interaction with police officers that are paid to protect and serve. I realize if you're in law enforcement or you have family in law enforcement, please know we love police. We love good police. And the good police far outweigh the bad cops. But it's time that we recognize that it's not about good cops or bad cops and go into that argument. The system is broken and change has to happen. And may we in our lifetime push it forward. Aside from this just flowing out of my heart, what this has to do with our sermon is that when you think of racism, God hates it. God hates sin. He absolutely abhors it. Think about how you feel when you see an injustice in this world, mistreatment, and magnify what you feel by a billion, and you begin to scratch the surface of how God feels at any kind of sin. When lies are perpetrated, when ego gets the best of people and we do awful things in the name of pride and self-serving, when abuse of any form happens, when young children are mistreated, when women are trafficked, when there's all sorts of injustices that happen in this world, when little kids go to bed at night without food in their stomach, when companies can exploit their workers and maximize profit yet mistreat people, when there's violence of any sort, when there's riots and looting, God hates just the pain that people are feeling as well as the abuse that they're enacting and destroying things. God hates sin. His holiness is completely opposed to sin. And therein lies this tension. When we see God as Father, it's important that you and I know that we can run to Him, that we are running to a God who awaits us to embrace us. But when we arrive in His presence, He will never be comfortable with allowing sin of any kind to grow in our souls. Jesus wants to uproot any kind of sin that's festering in our hearts, whether it's lust of any kind, lust for power, sexual lust, greed, malice, selfish ambition, any kind of sin that's festering in your heart and mine. When we find ourselves in the embrace of our dad, our Abba, our loving Father, know that His holiness is there to purge us, to cleanse us. So what that means for us is you and I should never run from God. We should run to Him, but we should run to Him with a heart to confess, to invite Him in, to be real and honest. Here's the good news. Sin that normally makes us cower and shame and run away and hide and protect, if He's a loving Father and welcomes us as we are, we can run to Him and reveal and confess and allow Him to cleanse us. See, why I'm hopeful for every single one of us in this journey of calling God our Father and seeing Him as He is because in my own life, this was not always the case. I struggled for years to call God my Father. It actually evoked really powerful, painful, visceral emotions because I didn't have a father. And on top of not having Him present, He didn't want me alive. Sent my mother to the abortion clinic 3 times. Did not want me. I lived under the shadow of this immense rejection for so many years. Even after I became a Christian and began to follow Jesus, I was more comfortable seeing God as powerful, as an authoritarian figure, but to see him as loving, as embracing, as welcoming was a big struggle. And so for me, when I sinned, I had no problem seeing him as holy. But because I didn't see him as Father, my sin made me run away from God. I would condemn myself and beat myself up. And a sin could result in weeks of depression where I was just so disappointed that I messed up and I couldn't get it right. Because for years, I was trying to earn God's love. See, if you only see God as holy, then you're constantly in this cycle where you're just trying to eliminate the sin in you so that you can be holy and you're accepted in your mind by God through your holiness. But can I tell you, Jesus actually pushes against that and says, you're accepted by God, not because of your holiness. You're accepted by God because of his grace, because he is a gracious Father. And so we need both. We need a sense of his holiness that makes us drop to our knees and confess, God, I have hate toward this person, or I have unforgiveness, or Lord, I'm really selfish if I'm honest, or God, I do have racist thoughts, or God, I'm fearful in a way that's not just like a fleeting emotion. My fear, it drives me to do negative things that dishonor you and hurt other people. We should have a sense of God's holiness that makes us confess the rawest, truest things about us. And if we know he's Father, we run to him and know that in that place of confession, he's not shirking away from us at all. There's no moment where he's disgusted or flinching. He embraces us. And as many of you know, I have a 5-month-old daughter. She's about to be 6 months. Brielle Joy. And she was actually born with Down syndrome. Some of you may not know that. And I won't get into just the immense layers of that experience for us as a family. But I can tell you this, that God, we needed her more than she needs us. She's changed our family in profound ways. Every day I hold her, it's an amazing experience. There's these times where I'm holding her and she's a baby, and so she'll spit up. And so at this point, I have 2 sets of shirts in my house. I have sets of shirts that they're like hold Brielle shirts because they just got stains on them, and because it is what it is. There's just nothing that's going to fully protect your shirt. You could put something on it, you know, like a cloth. They're just, I know this can be gross if you don't have children, or maybe you're past the stage of young children, but it's an amazing thing. Holding your child and they spit up, and that's gross. It's actually disgusting, to be honest. Yet you're not rejecting them, where you can hold them, even at a moment where something disgusting has happened. God holds us in the same way. I'm fighting back the tears because when I think of the times where I've sinned, where I've messed up, where it would have made sense for God to just reject me, push me away because I spit up, I made a mess, our Father embraces us. He holds us closer because nothing will separate us from his love. That's what scripture tells us. I know this season of life has felt like one big puke fest. It's been awful in so many ways, on so many levels. And perhaps you have felt at moments your lowest, your most broken, you're most repulsive. And at those moments, we can be tempted to think that God would be pushing us away. But I'm here to tell you this morning that in all your brokenness and your struggle, our God doesn't reject you. He embraces you. That's what the cross tells us. He died for us in order that we would know that there would be nothing that would ever separate us from his love. I want to invite us to pray as we close. Right where you're at, can I invite you to just close your eyes just for a moment? I want to pray over you, and I want to pray that God would reveal himself as Father to you in a way like you've never known it, that it would be fresh and alive. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you come and would you open up our hearts, heal our spirits, reveal who you are to us. Reveal your nature as Father. And would you heal us and restore us and renew us like only you can. Lord God, we come to you now with open hearts, and we pray that you would teach us to see you as Father, and may that change everything in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.